Hey, welcome in. Time for a daily editorial, boy, about the biggest day in news that we've had. I would say the second biggest day in news we've had so far this year. I want to say that we're going to talk a little bit about the indictment from the Democratic point of view. Jimmy is much more conversant on this particular subject than I am, and I have asked him if he could go ahead and handle that. Jimmy, let's hear it from a Democratic point of view.
So I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but let me give the presentation what the Democrats think. So they actually think that the entire January 6th narrative, and when I say they, I'm talking about a core group of very loyal and somewhat empty-brained individuals, think that there was a completely justified election in 2020, that Joe Biden won, and that Donald Trump was threatening the Constitution. And now with this, both the Mar-a-Lago raid, with the information that they had there, and of course with this January 6th indictment, the latest indictment, that in fact, he was a threat to the United States government. And what the Biden administration did when they took power in January of 2021 is Biden and his team put out an executive order to forward to the Department of Justice and to all agencies to ensure that they defended the integrity of the democracy of the United States, which basically gave a blanket authority to the executive branch folks to go through, and that includes Department of Justice and Homeland Security, as well as other agencies, the FBI, the CIA, and of course NSA, through their massive collection capabilities, to track down potential threats to the democratic process of the United States. Now, Jack Smith has gone forward and he's presented these articles. And from a Democratic view, when I say these loyal Democrats, they're going to say, yeah, he's absolutely guilty. And don't tell me that there were justified reasons for any of this violence, because that's been the narrative that's been protected by the media and by the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Well, I want to say the thing that, in my opinion, for me, kind of takes Trump out of this particular environment is I have a recording in my computer that I made on January 6th when Donald Trump made a phone call to some of the folks and said, come on to the government with me, or come on to the government environment with me. But absolutely no violence. I heard.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. So I'm going to give the other perspective now, Al.
Yeah.
The other perspective is, look, the Department of Justice is bending over backwards to target him, but it's not really targeting Trump. What they're trying to do is silence his and all political opposition from their power grab.
All right. You're right.
So they're using Department of Justice and intimidation tactics to try to scare away lawyers. They're using it in order to take away donors. They're using it to get supporters to say this is, you know, not going to work, and threaten them. And basically by the arrests that they made over January 6th,
yeah,
and now by these multiple indictments, they're really trying to control the narrative. And, you know, some of them, there's probably some success with that because many people are afraid to speak out. And a lot of people still are unaware that the entire Russia collusion accusation that the FBI concocted with the DNC, with the Democratic National Committee, and it's proven now that that's actually false, that it was a lie. A lot of people have no idea. They've never heard that, a big percentage of the population, because, again, the media and the Democratic Party controls that narrative. So what you're seeing now is an interesting dilemma for the Democrats, because they've pushed this so far and they're using law enforcement and they're threatening. It's really backfiring in many cases because Trump's actually popularity is up. He's definitely ahead in all the primaries, so the likelihood of winning the nomination is high. The likelihood of them getting a conviction that will stick all the way through the Supreme Court is incredibly low in all of these cases, but they're betting on the fact that they can intimidate supporters and that they can get people to back away from them in order to expand power. And what I'm afraid of is that they've gone so far overboard with this that they're actually going to hope for some violent event that will create opportunity for them to even crack down harder on dissent.
And are you saying that that violent event already occurred and it's the basis of yesterday's second indictment?
Well, I think that's a start. I think that was one, that was a tool that was used, but I think they're looking for something more dramatic. They're looking for a shooting. They're looking for something like what happened to the Republican softball team back in 2017, where the man came out and shot it, the Republicans, in their practice.
Yeah.
Now, had that been a bunch of Democrats, the media would just have gone nuts, and we'd still have, we'd probably have mandatory lockdowns on all Republican-owned guns. There'd be a tremendous backlash. But it was a Democrat, and it was a Bernie Sanders supporter that shot them up.
Yeah.
And so it was somewhat ignored. But I think that they are pushing these buttons in order to actually create circumstances where they can crack down harder. And I think they're hoping for some negative response, another protest, or even a violent act, or even something like Timothy McVeigh bombing of Oklahoma City, which I've talked before, was a pushback against Clinton's DOJ.
Well, I got to tell you, Oklahoma City was a frightening event, particularly frightening to me because Kathy and I visited the site. And it was absolute. I couldn't believe that a human being could cause that kind of problem, Jim. I just couldn't believe it. But McVeigh certainly did.
Well, Al, I just want to say, you know, I've been in a lot of war zones and a lot of conflict. And what one individual can do is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And it only takes one, that violent frustration. And what you've got now is how many Americans, I mean, conservative, they don't care that much, but how many of them are beginning to feel the pressure from the economy?
Yeah.
How many of them are beginning to feel the pressure from, hey, look, yeah, I supported Donald Trump. You know, I'm a construction worker out in the middle of nowhere that just says, hey, I want to live a better life. Or I'm a manufacturing, factory worker that lost their job because it moved to China. And I support the guy because I want to see a change in America, and I'm tired of the corruption.
Yeah.
How many of them right now, how many of them that have served or fought for 20 years and around in Afghanistan are saying, you know what, enough is enough? And I think that's what they're trying to incite. I think that the Democratic, the puppet masters behind the Biden administration are actually trying to incite something to create more violence.
How much time you want to give it, like, to the weekend? I don't know. No,
I'm not talking about over. It's not just a matter of, you know, it's over time, right? It's a this is a long game.
Yeah.
It's a long game. And it's slowly eroding. We are absolutely losing our basic freedoms and our basic principles with more gun laws, with more restrictions, with these incredible encroachments on speech. And what you're seeing right now is a direct attack on speech of a former president of the United States through this January 6th indictment. These were absolutely legitimate arguments being presented about the problems with the 2020 election. And a lot of people are like, I don't think it was actually honest. And actually more than half of Americans have questioned the outcome now. That's changed a lot. And most people think that Hunter Biden, and this is according to a number of polls now, think that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were in business together and there was some corruption going on there. They don't know the details. They don't know how much.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that the day that Evan Archer goes before Congress, the Oversight Committee, and says, hey, look, yeah, he was on, you know, Joe was on phone calls and directly involved in trying to intimidate our foreign partners and take money from them in order to get, you know, the prosecutor fired in Ukraine. The day that he says that, later on in the afternoon, we see this indictment. This has happened in every single case that something negative has gone against Joe Biden or the Democratic Party. The next day, the DOJ has announced some sort of extended attack on Donald Trump in another indictment. It's becoming so transparent now that you can't even deny it. It's just, you know, It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's. I mean, circumstances are really, really interesting right now about what's going on. And I would have to say that based on a conversation that I had this morning, that I would have to say that the press and others are winning the battle so far, Jim.
Well, they have been for a while. I mean, obviously, yeah. We've got a pretty ignorant population. And it's unfortunate. It's not because they're stupid people. It's because of the information they get and what they hear.
Yeah.
But it's slowly seeping out that maybe there's something we need to question. And when you see this level of conduct and conflict, and again, 75 million Americans at a minimum voted for Donald Trump, how do you alienate 75 million voters, nearly half the entire voter base, actually more than half of any previous election in the past? But I'll tell you how you do it. You do it through intimidation, through the Department of Justice, through silencing people and controlling the narrative from corporate media. And here's another, you also, and this is why the justice system is absolutely untrustable, Al. I told you off mic, and I'll just tell it for our listening folks today. So the, you know, Jack Smith files this indictment last night, makes a public statement, of course, right after the Devin Archer events. And he says, and D.C. immediately appoints a judge. That judge is Tanya Chutkan, an Obama appointee. She worked from 2002 to 2014, basically 12 years, for Boyce, Schiller, and Flexner, a very closely tied law firm to the Democratic National Party, to the DNC. Guess who else worked at the same law firm from 2009 to 2014? And most people won't even believe it.
I would have to say Hunter Biden.
Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden worked in the law firm that the judge that's been appointed over, and she's been terrible, attacked J6 defendants verbally, basically calling them insurrectionists, an Obama appointee, viciously anti-Trump, and she is now the presiding judge, and she worked with Hunter Biden for nearly 5 years, at least 4 years, in the same law firm. How is there any credibility with the Department of Justice and with the D.C. court to make, you know, for people to feel confident that we have an equal system of justice?
I think it was longer than 5 years, Jim. It sounded to me like it was longer. It sounded to me like it was at least 5 years, but more like 10 or 11.
Well, no, she worked there from 2002 to 2014. Hunter Biden was employed there from 2009 to 2014.
Oh,
so it's
about
4 or 5 years.
Yeah, okay. That's interesting. Very interesting. Well,
so here's one more thing I'm going to add to it.
Yeah.
Mike Pence just cut his own throat. So he immediately made a statement after the announcement. So it was probably coordinated. He probably knew what was going to happen. Mike Pence came out and said that no one went against the Constitution should ever be president of the United States. So basically,
well,
directly
attacking.
Well,
that's true. That's a true statement. But the question is, did Trump go against the Constitution? I mean, of course, Pence is right.
Yeah, well, yes, but he's attacking Donald Trump. The guy. Now, think about this. The guy that he was supporting, it directly said, we're going to have an opportunity to actually hear all the issues on January 6th, but wasn't able to because of the violence that was more than likely coordinated because of lack of security, because Nancy Pelosi played Mike Pence, if they played him at all, because I think Mike Pence was probably part of the plan. It seems to me that Mike Pence, and this is my opinion, his entire time behind Trump did not trust him or didn't like him and was planning his own accession to power.
Yeah.
And you can say that because I will say that because, number one, he was responsible for reviewing the fraud in the 2016 election, and he quit. He quit doing that. He shut down that operation. Number two, he was the man that was responsible for the COVID task force. He is the guy that allowed Anthony Fatry and Debbie Birx and everybody else inside the federal government to continue to put narratives out there that destroyed the American economy, that forced vaccinations on people, that actually went through this process. Oh, and if you remember, they did not announce the vaccination until the week after the election, when they knew the week before the election that they had it, and which would have maybe made a big difference in the election itself.
Right.
Mike Pence was the guy that promised to hear out the issues with the problems on the congressional floor, with the Senate before they actually approved or allowed the electors to vote. Uh-huh. And he did not. And he did not because of the violence, and he stepped away. So here is a guy that the entire time he was in office. Oh, by the way, he's the one that fired Mike Flynn immediately upon taking office. He's the one that there's so many things that he and his chief of staff, Mark Short, did to undermine Donald Trump and his administration by recommending different people that were in there that basically tubed the administration. He's a absolute backstabbing POS, if you ask me.
Well, there's some interesting.
And oh, by the way, he won't get any support from the Republican Party now. He didn't even get enough donors to meet the requirements to make the first Republican debate. And now he somehow thinks that he's going to be able to be the honorable guy. No, he's a backstabbing liar, and he's actually a power-hungry man with a bad ego.
Okay. I don't disagree with that at all. I'm looking right now while you're talking, Jimmy. I'm looking to see, has really anything happened today, in terms of diversion in the news. Breaking news in the New York Times is the attacker of the Pittsburgh synagogue got the death penalty. And that's in the news today.
Well, that's New York Times is a propaganda tool for the Democratic National Committee. Washington Post, it's a propaganda tool for the Democratic National Committee. Washington Examiner, the supposedly conservative, that's a propaganda tool for rhinos in Washington.
Yeah.
There's just, you really can't, you have to piece together so many different issues in order to find any truth out there, or at least to have enough detail to make good analytical decisions. And it's really hard based on, what we're provided, the information that we're provided.
Yeah.
But I will tell you this, and I want to tell our actual listeners, our regular bloggers, that, a couple weeks ago, I talked about Vivek Ramaswamy. I mean, it was actually about 2 months ago, and said, hey, this guy's a rising star, and he's going to be, and he's doing phenomenally well. And a couple of people commented that he was, in fact, a member of the young world leaders from the WF organization. Well, it turns out that was actually a fraudulent accusation, that he'd been nominated by the World Economic Forum to be the one in their young leaders program, but he never accepted it and was not part of it. But they presented it that way. So once again, here's a diversionary effort in order to undermine a potential candidate that's definitely against globalization and World Economic Forum's programs.
Yeah.
And he took them to court, and he won in court, and they had to send an apology letter out that he showed out yesterday. So he was never part of the WEF Young Leaders Forum. He's not a globalist. He's definitely an America First guy.
Yeah.
And I think he's gaining a lot of ground and notoriety specifically because of these types of attacks.
He's very presentable. He's very unoffensive, etc. And if he goes anywhere, more power to him. At this point, I don't know enough about the guy to really make an opinion on that one.
I've been paying attention to his campaign quite a bit. It's a low cost, very effective. He's doing it the right way. He is spending some of his own money. Trump did the same thing, spent $35 million to win the Republican nomination back in 2016, mostly out of his own money because he wasn't raising any money. Now he's spending more than that on just the legal fees against these attacks from the Democratic Department of Justice. They actually, the Stasi, if you will, because they have now crossed the line where they are absolutely the political tool of the Democratic Party. They are doing everything they can in order to protect the deep state and the people inside there that are really, really beholden to global interests and to corruption. And it's just so sad.
Well, what do you expect to happen? The United States has long been a very successful capitalistic society. And what's going on right now for a few people is kind of the epitome of dishonest capitalism.
Yeah, it's authoritarian capitalism.
Yeah.
The corruption seeps in. Americans were asleep at the switch. They weren't
right.
paying attention to it. And that's partly because of the media apparatus. And again, you know, 2008, 2009, Obama gets elected. And what happens? There's massive protests from the left against the World Economic Forum and against globalization.
Yeah.
Massive protests, right?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do.
So what? Yeah, in Seattle. Seattle was a disaster. Remember, they had the conference there. And and of course, there's violence. And of course, it looks like that maybe there was some of that was incited by provocateurs that wanted to create violence so the cops could crack down. But here's what I believe happened. I believe that those corporate entities said, you know what, let's appeal to these same people. Let's go ahead and appeal to them, and we'll manipulate them, and we'll use whatever tools we have through social media, through corporate entities, through the control, the censorship of information in order to get them on our side. And now you've got BLM, Antifa types, and you've got the left, which is supporting those corporations.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense from a ideological standpoint.
No.
But now you see that on a regular basis. And this was a very sophisticated effort. And I think partly supported by the WEF, by people like George Soros, by major corporate entities. And of course, they've succumbed to the pressure from the Obama administration that put regulatory requirements for diversity, equity, and inclusion, that went ahead and threatened people with the EPA if they were doing things that might be against their political agenda. And of course, no one pushed back on it because, hey, it was Barack Obama, you know, the first black president. He was just the right guy,
right?
And, which is all turns out to be a lie.
I will say one thing. I've been following Obama since he was elected, just because of what I do. And I will say one thing. He's very bright. There's no question about that. I don't think he really likes the United States as it exists today. And I think that he's one of the few people who I am aware of who could actually pull off what is being pulled off right now. Sounds like a compliment, you know, and I suppose in a backhanded way it is. The guy is about as smart as you can get, and he has all of the qualifications of being able to accomplish this, if in fact that's what's happening. He's very presentable. He's got an all-American family. He's absolutely perfect. And he is absolutely convinced that the United States is an evil place, as is witnessed by his kowtowing to the Muslims, particularly Saudi Arabia. And I wonder how many conversations, if any, he may have had with Iran, with the Ayatollah. I don't know. I really don't. All I know is I find what's unraveling right now to be fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm no longer as interested in the 2024 election, Jimmy, as I was perhaps yesterday.
Well, I think it's look, this next year is going to be the craziest year this nation has ever seen since the Civil War. And let's pray that it doesn't actually devolve into something similar. But let's just talk about some of the other things very briefly, just before we close up here, because I know we've been going a long time. But, the expected deficit for last quarter was supposed to be about $700 billion.
Right.
It's actually around a trillion dollars.
Yeah.
$1 trillion. So we're increasing the debt at exponential rates. That is going to crush us.
Where do you
then
get
you get
number,
the downgrade
Jimmy?
Of the bonds.
Yeah. Jimmy, where do you get that number?
Hold on a second. I was just reading it moments ago. Big picture debt, treasury debt. It's actually the U.S. Treasury debt estimates from the U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
$1 trillion in debt sales in the current quarter, up from $733 billion forecast previously.
Oh, my God. Well, let's see what our very intelligent bloggers have to say. And I don't mean that sarcastically, Jim.
No, no, they got a good handle on this, and they know that this debt stuff is absolutely unsustainable.
Yeah,
but
the
other issue is the Fitch ratings on bonds, on the U.S. bonds, and they drop from AAA to AA plus, and that's a huge statement. Of course, you're seeing the markets react pretty negatively for that as well.
Right.
So. And you know, it's been a couple of weeks of positive stuff in the market gains, but right now, you know, you're seeing a drop in about 1% in the Dow, almost 1%, almost 2% in the NASDAQ, and 1.25% on the S&P as they come close to close today on the second.
You know, Jim, the real coup de grace of this whole situation would really be a collapse in the U.S. markets, I don't mean a total collapse, but I mean a dramatic, eye-catching collapse.
And, you know, and at this point, I would rule nothing out, because the people that actually worked for Obama are working for Biden. Biden is stupid enough and absolutely incompetent, incapable of managing either the economy or any other national emergency in this nation right now.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to continue. My bet is they're going to continue to push their agenda regardless, because they think they can gain as much as they possibly can before they lose it, but they're going to be stuck with some problems. I think they're vastly underestimating their ability to control events around the world.
Well, time is going to tell, Jim. Time is very definitely going to tell. Jimmy, I appreciate your insights. You're very definitely a go-to guy when it comes to this particular conversation, no question about it. One of the best informs who I know. Thanks, Jim.
You bet, Al.